The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Bahati Mutisia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from The Teen Magazine. The first article for today is titled, 20 Positive and Powerful Affirmations You Should Hear Today. Once in a while, everyone is confronted by negative thoughts, which can be destructive, decreasing our confidence and affecting our mood. Luckily, affirmations can powerfully rewire our brains, allowing us to restructure our thinking process. Positive affirmations can help us to break free from this negative downward spiral. In short, what you think you become. Here are 20 positive and powerful affirmations you should hear today to establish a positive mindset and improve your lifestyle. Number one, I am enough. These three simple words hold more power than you can imagine. I am enough means I accept my mistakes and learn from them. It means to see your flaws and work with them hand in hand and understand that you were never made to become someone else. You're unique and perfect in the way you are. Your enough means you are free to grow and thrive. You can become the best version of yourself and not the version you see in others. You don't have to prove yourself before anyone and anything. You should understand your self-worth, and that's it. You are simply you, in the right place, at the right time, and that's perfectly enough. Number two, even if I make the wrong decision, it will always lead me somewhere positive. Whenever I need to make major decisions, I feel stuck, confused, and afraid of making the wrong decision. It took me a while to come to terms that whatever I choose, the outcome might be as beautiful and positive, especially if you are a strong believer in everything happens for a reason. We don't know what the future holds, but this affirmation surely helps to calm down the negative thoughts as we start a new journey, knowing that everything will work out for the best. Number three, I am worthy of love and happiness. Whoever you are and whatever you've been through, you deserve to be happy, loved, taken care of, valued, and respected. Number four, I can accomplish anything I set my mind to. There is absolutely nothing in this world you can't accomplish when you set your mind to it and believe in yourself. It's one thing to try, and it's another to remain dedicated, to remain committed against all odds. Like the Nike slogan says, just do it. Do not give up. Keep striving even when you fail. Get back up. Try harder. Number five, I trust myself. Whenever it gets lonely, remember, you have you. You are always there for yourself in every situation of life. Trust yourself enough that you won't need anyone to look out for you and to protect you. And it has at the bottom here a quote from Maya Angelou, I got my own back. Number six, I choose to prioritize my mental health. Once you have decided to make your mental health a priority, the next step is to set boundaries. Healthy boundaries can help people define their individuality and can help people indicate what they will and will not hold themselves responsible for. Choosing yourself over toxic friendships and relationships is another way of prioritizing your mental well-being. Number seven. I won't settle for less. You should have high standards. It's important you remind yourself every single day that you are not going to settle for less. You need to keep working and stay focused until you reach your goal. Number 8. I am the architect of my life. Being the main character of your life means setting goals and taking action to make them happen. Focus on your passion and work on your insecurities. You are the sole person that can create the life you always wanted. Number 9. Bad days are inevitable. No, life is not always going to be good to us. Surely, bad days will come. But that doesn't mean you have to be pessimistic. The most important thing during times like these is your attitude. Do you choose to remain grateful? It is often during these times that true character is manifested. You have the choice of seeing the positive or negative in every situation. What you choose to see is how you'll feel during the lows of life. Number 10. I am thankful for growth. Changes are inevitable, but scary at times. If you're anything like me, major changes give me so much anxiety. However uncomfortable it might be, changes help you grow, mold you into the best version of yourself. Number 11. I don't need to fit in to be accepted. Do what makes you happy. Trust that gut feeling. Follow your instincts no matter what the crowd is doing or what people are saying. There are so many voices around, so many opinions and background noise. Stay true to who you are. Be different. Be you. And then there's another quote here that says, "You will never influence the world by trying to be like it." Number 12. My voice is my weapon. One thing I grasped when reading the book, The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas, is that your voice is your weapon. You have a voice. Don't be afraid to use it. Your voice is so powerful that it has the power to change the world. And then there's a quote here that says, "Speak your mind even if your voice shakes." Number 13, asking for help doesn't make me weak. Sometimes it might be difficult to ask for help as it requires courage, humility, and strength. This is a reminder that asking for help is essential for growth in our lives. It helps us to be braver, humble, and honest. Let's face it, no individual has knowledge of everything. When asking for help, people can share their expertise. There's no shame in asking for help, and as a matter of fact, real growth happens out of the comfort zone. Get out there and ask for help whenever. I'm sure anyone will be willing to give a hand. Another quote, "Having a need and needing help is not a sign that you're weak. It's a sign that you're human." Kate Northrup. Number 14. I see the beauty and value in others and in what they can accomplish. I'm the type of person that always tries to find something beautiful or positive about everything or anyone. Moreover, I'm always happy to see others achieving their goals. Sometimes it might be something that brings you down, but remember, your time will come too. Number 15. I love myself deeply and unconditionally. We've all battled with self-love. However, practicing self-love, making you feel worthy. Loving yourself unconditionally can also give you this new perspective of yourself, improving your mental health. Number 16. My emotions and feelings are valid. One thing that we humans crave is a sense of belonging, and with that comes the need to be understood and accepted. What we need to understand is that when we depend on other people to validate our feelings and emotions, we begin to compromise who we really are. People often fall into spurts of depression because they feel no one truly understands them and what they're going through. Our feelings matter, no matter what it may be. However, not everyone respects or acknowledges this, and sometimes it's the people closest to us that invalidate our feelings. Number 17, the world is filled with endless opportunities for me. Whatever your circumstances may be, whether you're worried about making it through the day or busy forging an empire, there are opportunities all around you, right now. Every day, you have to make the most of what you've got, and you should always take advantage of all opportunities surrounding you. Number 18. Every challenge I face is an opportunity to grow and improve. Struggles, failures, rejections are just obstacles in your journey. Let these challenges serve as a lesson to learn and improve yourself for the future. Remember, progression might not be linear, but step by step, little by little, you'll make it. We fall, we break, we fail, but then we rise, we heal, we overcome. Number 19. My body is a tremendous gift, and I will treat it with love and kindness. In the era of social media, we tend to compare our physique with others, triggering body image issues and insecurity. However, it is important to be gentle with yourself, nurture your body, and treat it with the love and kindness that it deserves. We're all built differently. Our bodies are unique, and that is what makes us stand out. There is no ugly or pretty body type. We are all beautiful, and we are all blessed with a body that works hard to keep you alive. I choose to give my body the love it deserves. Number 20. I am proud of my achievements. Your success and achievements are the results of your sweat and tears. You never know when someone could be watching your life from the sidelines and wondering how you are so successful. Your achievements could inspire so many people. A trick to increase the effectiveness of affirmations is to look at yourself in the mirror while speaking. After all, the beauty of affirmations is that you can easily create your own. Remember, affirmations are meant to help you overcome negative thinking processes. For this reason, they should be positive, specific, relevant, and short. You got this. The author of this article is Ritika Kalasur, and she enjoys reading and binge-watching Netflix shows in her free time. She can easily get lost in a book and often ends up getting too attached to fictional characters. The next article is titled The Ultimate Guide to Healthy Eating as a Student. Growing up, I never maintained a substantial diet. There would be days where I would eat 5,000 or more calories in a day, and days where I would eat less than 500 calories. I found myself constantly attracted to the unhealthy option, to the point where anything that was not sweet or carb-loaded tasted bad. This problem escalated when I moved to a new school and started going out for lunch every day. My friends and I would go to our local bakery and buy soda, pastries, donuts, ice cream, candy, you name it. These lunches out became a daily routine and were often what I most looked forward to when going to school. The problem was that I associated this daily routine with happiness. Sitting in coffee shops for hours and buying sugary Starbucks drinks were my favorite things to do. When I was most stressed because of a test, or I felt like I had no friends, I would go to a coffee shop and buy everything. Before I knew it, I was addicted. Then the worldwide pandemic hit. I could not go out for lunch with my friends every day because of online school. All of our non-essentials were shut down, and I found myself experiencing a form of withdrawal. I realized that the lack of sweets and sugary drinks made me feel sad, like something was preventing me from being happy. After a couple of weeks, I had an epiphany. I had associated these foods with happiness, and I associated everything else with unhappiness. So, I set out on a mission to fix my diet. And it didn't work. Over and over again, I would do nothing but salads and rice cakes for a couple of days, only to binge eat desserts afterwards. It was incredibly frustrating. Eventually, after much experimentation and failures, I managed to find a healthy diet that worked for me. When school opened up again, I started going out with my friends for lunch every day again, but this time I didn't fall back into my old habits. Here is how I did it and how you can too. What are substantial eating habits and why are they important? Sustainable eating habits means developing a stable diet that you can maintain in the long term. In order to make a permanent change in your eating habits, you should focus on eating in a way that you can maintain for the next 15 years. For example, eating too much junk food is not sustainable because you'll gain weight and you'll have health problems. But eating clean 24/7 is not sustainable because you'll not feel like you're enjoying your meals and it can lead to an eating disorder. Other things to consider when wondering if your diet is sustainable are your budget, the time constraints, and the types of foods available where you live. Making sure your diet is sustainable is extremely important because constantly having to think about your food choices can be energy consuming and frustrating. Eventually, you'll probably give up and resort to an even worse diet than before. Budget. This was a huge challenge for me. Junk food tends to be cheaper than healthy food, because the companies can use cheaper quality and processed ingredients. In fact, a study by Plutus Foundation of 27 studies in 10 countries found that unhealthy food is about $1.50 cheaper per day than healthy food. Healthy food also tends to be packaged in smaller quantities, so you have to buy more of it. But do not get discouraged. There are many ways to lower your grocery bill. Make sure you buy generic instead of name brands that are normally similar quality. Stick to your grocery list and take advantage of all the coupons you can find. Preparation time. If you're spending 3 hours preparing and planning your food a day, you probably will not be able to keep it up. Consider how much you enjoy cooking and how much time you can dedicate toward meal planning. For example, I find cooking very relaxing, so I enjoy spending 20 minutes on my lunch. Here are a couple of habits you can adopt if you want to minimize the time spent in the kitchen. Plan out your meal on Sunday or at a time when you're not very busy. Consider the ingredients you already have at home when meal planning. Develop 5 easy meals which you can make in under 10 minutes. Make meals in bulk so you can eat them for multiple days. The 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule is a well-known rule that everybody should follow if they want to become healthier. It states that 80% of your food choices should be healthy and 20% should be unhealthy. This means that you never restrict your diet or completely cut out foods that you love. Instead, you focus on having a balance between the two. In terms of everyday eating, you should eat a healthy breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then you can have dessert in the night. Remember, this rule does not apply to holidays or special occasions. In those scenarios, you can eat whatever you enjoy in moderation and should not feel guilty at all. Calories. How many calories should I be eating a day? This is a question almost everybody asks themselves at some point. You were probably told 1,200 to 600, but that could be too much or too little for different people. The amount of calories you need all depends on your height, age, and the amount of activity. You can use this calculator to figure out how many calories you should eat in a day. Something which I learned is that you do not need to work off all the calories you consume in a day. For example, a person who eats 1,400 calories a day does not need to burn 1,400 calories on the treadmill to lose weight. According to GoodTO, the average person burns 800 calories a day by doing nothing. Your body naturally burns calories just to function at a normal capacity. Enjoyability. This is the most important factor in a diet. You want to make sure that you enjoy the food that you're eating. There are probably some healthy foods which you really enjoy and some that you hate. Experiment until you find foods that you actually enjoy and make those foods your primary source of nutrition. The more you eat healthy foods, the more your body starts to crave and enjoy those foods. Reprogram your mindset so that your mind wants to choose the healthy option. Overall, in order to create a sustainable diet, you must make sure that it is feasible in the long run and consider other external factors. Even though it might be hard in the end, you will feel 1,000 times better about yourself and more put together. Implementing the habits mentioned above is the first step toward a long journey. It is important to stay motivated, keep track of small improvements, and not to get upset when you mess up. Happy eating! The author of this article is Dia Mehta. Dia Mehta is a freshman at the University of Toronto Schools and is an inspiring writer. She is currently a writer for The Teen Magazine and a columnist for The Incandescent Review. She is passionate about writing, reading, mental health advocacy, and history, and has national awards from Access to Justice, Technovation, and Moonshot TKS. When she's not writing, she enjoys playing the piano, skiing, baking cupcakes, and binge-watching Suits. The last article is titled, Being a Teen with ADHD. This past spring, I was diagnosed with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, ADHD. The image that comes to everyone's head is an elementary school kid bouncing off the walls during class and never shutting up. I was that. All through my elementary and middle school education, and at least half of high school, I was really, really struggling. Not with the actual coursework, but with paying attention in class, doing the homework, and not to mention all of the stupid little mistakes I was making, because I just wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. Finally, after doing online school due to the pandemic, my parents saw what a real issue I was having. It's not that they didn't believe me before, but my grades always turned out fine, and my teachers just thought it was my personality. My diagnosis has really changed my life and has opened a million sources of information to learn about ADHD. One issue, though, is that most of it isn't targeted at teens. It's primarily targeted toward people diagnosed in their adult life and parents or guardians of young children. The odd one about how it affects teens is still targeted at the parents and guardians of said teens. Teens are old enough to do research and find out how their diagnosis affects them. While I recognize that my experience may not be applicable to all, I hope that there is one teen out there who reads this and finds comfort in that they are not alone in their diagnosis. Medicine. The stigma around ADHD meds is that they make you a zombie. This is absolutely not true. While I'm still working with my doctor to help me find the right dosage, I can say that it has been a game changer for the better. A common misconception about ADHD is that it's a lack of attention. It's actually an inability to regulate attention. I, for the life of me, could not focus in certain classes in school, but I could read, write, and watch movies for hours on end at home. Sometimes, That was taken as I just wouldn't focus in some situations because I could obviously focus at different times. The thing is, I couldn't not focus on reading, writing, and watching movies. I literally had no control over it. This goes all the way down to the biology of the brain. I won't get into it, but the majority of medicines recommended for ADHD are stimulants. When an ADHD brain is on these medications, the neurons are fired and complete their paths the way that they would in a non-ADHD brain. You obviously don't have to take medicine if you don't want to, but I would talk seriously with your parent, guardian, and doctor about it. Of course, there are some side effects of the medication. They come up most often when moving to a higher dose. In my personal experience, for about a week after my dose is upped, my stomach hurts after taking the medication. Accommodations. Both in school and out of school, your parents or guardians will probably meet with your school counselor and discuss what the school needs to do to help you learn. You may feel a little embarrassed, and that's fine. Just remember that you have been holding yourself to the standards set for people who are neurotypical. You also may feel a little angry. Where were all of these accommodations before? I have received bad grades because of a biological thing I was born with. Why did I only find out about this now? I thought all of those things too. I still do. It's okay to be angry, but you have to take it in stride. I recommend talking to a therapist or a counselor about it. For accommodations outside of school, I recommend watching YouTube videos and reading articles about items others with ADHD use to help with their attentiveness. I personally have started putting all of my cereals that I buy into see-through containers so I can see more often and make note of when I'm running out. You will probably find that most measures are preventative ones. Things like see-through containers and an app to help find your keys are much more fail-safes than anything else. I also suggest looking into purchasing ear protectors. When you have to do something like homework in a public space, I hear every little noise. My ear protectors really block that out, allowing me to focus. There's always more to learn. I know that this article may not be the biggest help, but I'm learning too. Navigating this school year with my new diagnosis has been challenging. In some ways, it's like it's being allowed to work and do tests in the library. My school is doing much better. However, knowing I have ADHD has given me some extra stress. I know myself a little bit better, and I have to get all of my homework done right away. That article is written by Mary Flynn, and given that we're running out of time, I'm going to go ahead and close. We hope that you have enjoyed. This is Bahati Mutisia reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.